Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. Supposedly it's been a whole week, and it's time for Destroy All Culture episode 178. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
What is time?
I don't know anymore.
Well, I mean, time has passed because we're doing this podcast again. So
right.
I know objectively out there somewhere, time is actually still moving along.
Yes. You know, soon, apparently, on the CW, some shows are going to start coming back a little bit.
Oh, really? What's on the menu for CW?
I know, like, this coming week, there's a new Riverdale, and I think, like, the week after that, there's Batgirl and Flash, and then, like, a week or two after that, there's Supergirl.
Oh, nice. Oh, good. I'm glad we're getting another Batwoman, because I'm kind of missing that.
Yeah, so they're starting to come back some. No one knows how long that'll last, or if they'll finish the season, or what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, Supernatural's still nowhere to be seen. You know, the Supergirl thing is interesting, though, because their time loss is going to affect next season in a really weird way.
How so?
Bennett is pregnant.
Oh!
And their original schedule included them filming a bunch of season 6 early.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But they've lost all that time.
Gotcha.
Sadly, the show hasn't been quite Silver Age-y enough that they can just be like, look, it's Red Kryptonite, now you're magically pregnant for 3 weeks, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I always love seeing shows where one of the actors gets pregnant, and then they have to sort of retool the season in some way around the fact.
I think my favorite has been, have you been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine this year?
I have not. I've only seen the first episode so far.
Melissa Fumero is pregnant.
Oh.
And they, you know, have to hide it type of thing. And they kind of like hide it by going like, look at this ridiculous thing. Like she's always carrying something until her character gets pregnant. And even then, like when they do flashbacks, because in this last episode they did a flashback, and she's obviously very pregnant, and she's like, it's a Halloween thing, because they start the heist on Halloween, and then it moves.
Right.
But she's wearing this, like, giant pumpkin costume, and they just call attention to it. They're like, you know, we know you're wearing this, like, just to hide this, like, these tools. And she's like, no, I was wearing it, because there were children around. Like, it's just, they keep, like, lampshading it, because it's funny, and it's one of my favorite treatments of it ever.
Cool. I'm gonna have to catch up on this season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm gonna binge that thing.
It's very bingeable.
It's funny because thinking of TV pregnancies, Stella Maeve from The Magicians,
yeah,
of course, was pregnant in the last season, and I mean I wasn't reading any articles, so I didn't know that she was pregnant, but there was an episode where there's this one shot where she shows up. I think it's the bit where she kills Sebastian, and sort of like you see her and she's got like he drops and then you see her. And I thought, I don't know who that is. And then I'm like, holy shit, that's Stella Maeve, and her face looks different. Oh, she's pregnant.
Right.
What are they going to do now? And they immediately launch into the pregnancy plot. But it's always weird when you can see, like without the, you know, the bump, there's always those subtle changes to, like, a person's face. And
of
whatnot,
course.
That, sort of, like, makes them, some people look almost unrecognizable. Sarah Shahi never looks different, except like I've watched her on two different shows where she got pregnant, Life and Person of Interest, and she looked identical, except of course for her belly. But so it made it easier, I think, for them to keep her in the show
right.
for longer.
I mean, and, you know, like the Person of Interest stuff, they of course wrote her out for a big chunk.
Yes.
So
they made that work.
Yeah.
Which I liked. Yeah.
So yeah, speaking of Person of Interest, I you know, as we just discussed before we started recording, like I had been watching Fringe,
mm-hmm.
and then it was just a little too people melty for me right now.
Yeah, too much melty.
And I needed like Doctor Who for a bit, and then I finished all the Davies stuff and watched a little bit of the Moffat stuff and was like, yeah, I'm done. And I ended up moving on to a Person of Interest rewatch.
Ooh, how far have you rewatched so far?
I just watched like episode like 10.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's kind of the end of the man in the suit sort of
It really
storyline.
is, yeah. Like it always shocked me. Like I've rewatched the show before, but it still always shocked me like how fast they lay things that will be major for the next like 5 years. You know, like the first mention of Elias, like it's just kind of a passing thing, is episode 3. You know, it's. I realize that what I really want someone to do, and I don't know that I'd have the patience to sit and watch it this way, but I'd want to. I'd love to see someone take the enormous amount of work and time just so I could enjoy it. keep in mind, I would never do this, but to do a sequential cut of the entire show.
Oh my God. I'm sure somebody has done that. I mean, I've seen
Like.
somebody did Buffy that way. They took all and Angel, they took the entire Buffyverse and made a sequential cut of it, all the flashbacks and so on.
Yeah. Like, and again, like not like the little like case of the week flashbacks necessarily.
Right, the mythology stuff.
Right, all the mythology stuff, like just in order for all the main characters, even like things like Shaw, you know, that would just happen and then vanish for like a long time. I'd just be fascinated to see what that looks like.
Well, I'm not going anywhere.
Get to it.
Maybe I will. Maybe. But that'd be like Francis Ford Coppola recutting The Godfather to, because he did that sequential, like chronological
Right.
cut of The Godfather
And again,
turning
like
into a
I
big
don't think
epic
it would
movie.
work just because they deploy them thematically, right?
Exactly.
But I would still love to see even just the Finch stuff from starting to build the machine through teaching it. Like I'd just like to see all of that cut together. Because that'd be fascinating.
And the question is, would you put in the machine sort of tracking down, like, you know, the machine timeline as it like races back and forth through time and finds coordinates and
I leave that whenever we move time forward, so you knew where you were.
Hey, that's a good idea. Yeah.
But that would be even harder, right? Like, now we're getting tricky. But you know, Person of Interest, you know, it still works. It is one of those shows I think that works better on a rewatch. Like, there are certain surprises that, you know, you lose, obviously.
Right.
But there isn't that problem with me where the first season, not that it's slow or boring, but that you're not understanding what, like, as actors, they're doing with Reese and Finch yet. So they feel like you're like, oh, Reese is just wooden. And until you really understand the character later, you don't see it for what it is.
Yeah.
So when you go back and watch it, you're like, oh, okay, and you get it from the jump, and everything works better.
Yeah,
You know, and again, like,
that
being able
makes
to follow,
sense.
like, the Elias threads seriously are just, you know, more fun.
Oh my God, yeah. If I recall correctly, he's one of the only major characters who never gets a flashback. Am I wrong?
I don't think he, no, he, we see, like, case file, we get told stuff.
There's that episode in which sort of takes place in like an orphanage where he was raised or something like that.
Right.
But we never actually see him like and here's one of the funny things what you realize after a while is that this entire show kind of takes place, or at least all the flashbacks definitely takes place inside the machine. Like it's
Right, of
all
course.
yeah. So which means that everything else is inside the machine as well. So whenever there's a flashback, I'm like, okay, so the godlike AI that's choosing what we see is choosing not to show us any of Elias's past. And I'm like, why is that? I wonder. Then I
Well, and
realize it's maybe not worth thinking on, but whatever.
well, actually, and it's funny because the episode I just watched actually was. Includes one of the flashbacks with the, you know, the first time they give the government a number.
Ooh, right.
And Nathan is like, you know, like, pop the hood, like, what did this? And it's like, look, it's this one really tenuous connection, right? And I'm like, okay, so the machine is flashing back to show us relevant connections only. like the connections that build the story it's telling. And the Elias stuff isn't relevant.
Right.
For the purpose of the story it's telling, like, it's like Shaw's childhood is barely relevant. That type of thing.
Right.
Like, we never really get a Fusco flashback either.
True. Yeah, we never do.
Because it's not relevant to the story specifically that it's telling.
Fair
That
enough.
that's my closest for just the they didn't do it.
Fair enough. I think the only flashbacks, I think, in the whole show for me that didn't work very well was Greer.
Yeah.
Just, I
The
mean, it
Greer stuff
felt.
felt a little bit like they were trying to just build him up.
Yeah. It felt like they'd watched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy and really thought it was cool, and they wanted to do that, but it seemed a little undercooked.
Yeah, I mean, great character, but.
Yes, yeah, but he kind of—I thought he kind of worked. That's the thing. I thought Greer works really well as this character, clearly with this long past, but he's sort of kind of eternal. Like he's a fanatic, so he
Right.
doesn't. You don't need his motivation. You don't need to see where he became disillusioned. All you need to know is that's who he is, and that works perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give villains flashbacks. Don't give them motivations. Just have them be their crazy selves.
I'll give some of them flashbacks.
Oh, sure.
The right ones. We don't get what's her name either. I'm forgetting her name.
Zoe?
No. You know who I mean. Catherine Mannheim's character.
Yes. And again, we don't need any backstory
Right.
on
Yeah.
Control. Yeah. That's all you need. Catherine Mannheim.
I was
Just
a little
all.
sad she didn't come back at the end of Magicians.
I know. I was. I thought for sure she would actually have like a cameo, but
I wonder
no.
if it was just a Stumptown conflict.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Too busy in the Willamette Valley.
It happens to the best of us.
It does. Sounds like an album
It
from
really.
like
I'm sure it is an album, actually, out
too
here. Like,
busy.
it has to be, right?
Too busy in the Willamette Valley. Feel like from like 1978 or something.
Yeah.
Some yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know. Hit me with something.
I'll hit you with something. You've been rewatching Person of Interest, or
Yes.
Poi, as they call it in Hawaii.
Boy.
They call that in Hawaii, and they laugh every time. Anywho, I have started watching The Magicians again from the
Right.
start, and I'm only three episodes in, but
Okay.
one of the funniest things is that the plot of the pilot episode and the overarching plot of season five are kind of the same.
Yeah.
And I did not realize that until I rewatched it. I'm like, oh, Alice is trying to like bring her brother back and unleashes and brings the beast through. And in season five, Sebastian is trying to get his lover back. That's his main motivation. And it
Right,
turns out
and you
once
can see
again.
like, right, but I mean you can see the echoes for how like our character, like the main characters have evolved.
Right, exactly. Because they know just what a bad idea this is. And
Right.
I feel I'm kind of kicking myself for not sort of watching this season and going, "Oh yeah. This is these people like Sebastian, even though he's been like, around for hundreds of years, is still like this floundering adolescent in some ways who
Yeah.
can't sort of move on, just like most of the characters were in the first couple of seasons, which actually deepens season five, and I understand why they end up with sympathy for him.
Right. I mean, and you see that, I mean, too, about like the character pulls that obviously they weren't planning, but that are kind of set up quietly in season one just because it's what they built off of
Right.
that makes season one way more fascinating now.
Yes. Yeah, I'm finding this is a I'm enjoying it much more now, just because of what you know from the entire series.
Yeah.
Also, sad to see Quentin.
Is it? I thought it was nice to see Quentin. Like I again, like
It is
I don't
nice,
know.
but it's
It never
also
really hit me as sad. Like I think he got, like all the other characters actually, he got a great ending for him.
Right.
Like he became the hero he always thought he was. He saved everything. He saved the people he cares about. Like that's.
This is a good end. That's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, it was but overall it was good. Also the everybody's clothing is well, not everybody. Katie and Penny, a lot flowier than it was in later seasons.
Yeah.
Like the original ideas, like the original character work as done through the costumes was a lot sort of a lot blunter in the
Well,
early days of the
Jade Taylor
show.
actually mentioned that on that Physical Kids Weekly podcast because they actually have a section about fashion at the end of most episodes, and it kind of came up, right? Like her the way her personal style evolves throughout the series,
Right.
like that she's still trying to find herself when you see her first, and she's not sure who she is, so she's kind of this collection of stuff.
Yeah, that really did
And then she
feel like
pares
that.
down and like simplifies throughout the show.
Yep, still recognizably sort of the character, like the clothes fit the character quite well, but yeah, it was just in the pilot, especially in the first few episodes, like you have these like long sort of flowy robes with boots and like jean shorts, and it's all sort of contrasts and sort of jagged edges
Right.
and unsettled. But yeah, still so good. Penny's character is so much more aggressive. I mean, he's never not kind of aggressive, but he's just like just fuming and angry the whole time.
Right,
And
and once you see season 5, you understand why. Like he's fuming and angry until the library stuff happens.
Yep, and
Like
again.
I really do appreciate that's what I'm saying, like some of the polls, like the Margot stuff, right? Looked at through the lens of season 4, say, and just who she becomes, the king she becomes.
Yeah, there's, yeah, they really, yeah, they don't. That's the one thing, of course. They're very much, in the first few episodes, it's very much about Alice and Quentin,
Right.
and Julia, and you've got sort of Penny and Katie on one sort of side doing their thing, and then you've got Margot and Elliot as.
The Greek chorus, frankly.
Yes, yeah, that's probably the best way to put it. Like they comment on the action,
Right.
and in ways, especially with Margot, I find that, like she doesn't really behave like a normal person would. She behaves like somebody who knows more than she's letting on already, and seems to have a greater interest in these characters than. Normally, when most people would just like say, "Oh, fuck it, these people are annoying," but she seems to find them amusing. So this is good. I also like Elliot and Margot have a brief discussion about Quentin, and like, why are you interested in Quentin? And it's
Right.
like, I'm like, holy shit, that hurts.
Oh yeah,
That
no. The first time I
stings
remember,
now.
like when I went and rewatched it after season 4, and the first time Elliot's just like, "But he's so pretty." I'm like, "No." Like, just it's kind of like rewatching Shield.
Yes,
There are
yeah.
certain benchmarks where it's just like, "Oh, that hurts. That hurts so much more now."
But no, it is
Mean, even the stuff with the Dean is just awesome.
oh my God, I can't remember who the character who play or the actor who plays the Dean,
I want to say
but
Rick something, but
Rick Worthy, I think. Rick Worthy, yeah.
yeah.
But he yeah. But he has
Like I
that
said, like
he
it was that delivery of the do the fucking magic that got me into the show.
Yeah.
Like it was him.
Exactly. And it's just and just after he gets his eyes plucked out and he's in the office and and he can't like he can kind of see magically, but he can't actually see, and he's just delivering all these lines with this like the driest sort of like, "Well, I'd help you if I had eyes to see with," and it's just like, "Jeez, dude."
Yeah, like you realize, like out of all the characters, like outside of like, because the whole the whole Fog Julia Bond, you know, is a thing. And of course, he remembers all the timelines, and you know, you understand like why he becomes a drunk.
Right.
But it's like, I swear to God, those two characters get the shaft every goddamn time they're on camera. It's just like Fog really never catches a break.
No, he does not.
It just, he has the shittiest job in the world.
Well, that's why everybody absolutely dreads the notion of becoming the dean. Or, like, the acting dean. Or just...
Right, like, and the thing is, like, by the time we get to there, it's like, you get it. You're just like, yeah, no, that fucking office is a target.
Yeah, just welcome to the worst job in the world. The dean of break bills. I can't help but wish we'd gotten more of, like psychotic Fog. That was so much fun.
Yeah. Well, like, which, like, do you mean like Fog 17 or just like I have to hold a cat Fog? Like which psychotic Fog do you mean?
I mean Fog 17.
I also do love that, like, once the show starts that whole parallel Earth thing with the timelines, they commit to it in a way that I did not see them committing to it.
Oh my god, yeah. Like, they don't sort of do it and then kind of forget it. Oh, there's parallel worlds and timelines, but whatever. No, they have, like, characters popping up and making differences. And I'm still kind of waiting in my rewatch to get to the episode where you get, like, Evil Quentin from the one timeline.
Oh, yeah.
That was legitimately tough to watch.
There's an interesting thing about it. That, considering season 5, that I realized that when you get there, you'll notice.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you think about it for a minute, you'll get it now. But think about that Alice for a second. Her whole quest to find Quentin, and she's lost most of the fingers on one hand.
Right. I forgot about that completely.
Like, apparently, that's just a timeline staple.
I get maimed and I need to find Quentin. That's what I do.
But again, it also does speak to the truth of the characters, right? Like, regardless what happens, there are certain benchmarks for every character.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but I like it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you on that too.
So, yeah.
Excellent.
It's a show. And yeah, it is like Person of Interest. It is one of those shows that gets better when you rewatch it, I think.
No, it definitely.
Know, it adds
definitely.
Whole new layers that you can't possibly see the first time through.
Exactly. The one thing I'm not looking forward to with the rewatch are the Mayakovsky episodes. I just find those where we kind of dragged, but...
Yeah.
Just particularly the ones where they go to, like, break bills sort of south or...
Right.
And I'm like, meh. That's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they're not the best.
I can live with them.
But yeah, they're not terrible. Like, you know, they're very plot perfunctory, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They just move a bunch of pieces around the board, which needed to happen.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. But I will keep you posted on my sort of progress again through the show.
Cool. I'll do the same with Person of Interest. It's not like there's much new stuff. So
yeah, that's true.
Although I find like I'm kind of hoarding new stuff right now. Like I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine because I can't not. But like I still haven't seen the last episode of Batwoman that aired.
Oh, okay.
I haven't caught up on Westworld yet. But that's also just because as much as I like Westworld, I also don't like Westworld.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about Westworld.
Like, I want it to be Person of Interest.
Right.
Like, I want to redo Person of Interest with the budget of Westworld. God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. And
but
I think
that would actually ruin Person of Interest, so.
Yes. I think, and the thing I'm after actually having watched the last episode, Mother of Exiles, I think the thing I'm realizing is that they don't have time to turn it into Person of Interest.
Well, they have too many eyes on them.
Yeah.
Someone else mentioned that like part of the reason Person of Interest works is because people weren't watching it.
Yeah.
Like, as weird as that is and as sad as that is for the show, like, if everyone had been discussing Person of Interest, it would have weakened the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, like, I still haven't watched the last two episodes of Picard. Like, I keep going, oh, I should watch those. I'm like, or, you know, there's a Doctor Who, or there's, you know, Person of Interest. Like,
Yeah, the Picard finale I still haven't watched, and I'm not that interested. Considering the penultimate episode was, as we discussed previously, how overall weak it was,
yeah, like I said, I haven't even done that one. And I'll get there. It's just, I do think it's also just one of these, like, right now is the time for comfort food.
Definitely.
You know, like, I don't want to, and that sounds weird, but, like, I don't want to, risk is the wrong word, but it comes close. Like, risk, like, watching an episode of something being like, oh, but I didn't like that. Like, right now, I just need to like things.
I know what you mean. Yeah, you don't, you need something that's going to put you at ease. Some
Right, like, it
familiar
really is
comforts.
important right now. Like, no one is doing well overall.
Yeah, you need the entertainment equivalent of a really of your favorite pair of slippers.
Yeah. So, speaking of, weirdly enough, not slippers, but comfort food. I realized that I had never watched, and I saw a sale, digitally for all three Bad Boys movies.
Yes. Tell me now,
Now, I mean, I have the first two on disc, but and just as a side note for things, like, I don't know how you consume digital movie stuff. You know, like, some people use Amazon Prime, some people use iTunes, some people use Google Play, whatever it is.
I use a number of, I mean, I
Right.
iTunes, Prime, I just, whatever. Yeah.
Well, the
I do what
best
I
thing I
do.
found for this, of course, is a thing called Movies Anywhere.
Oh.
And you can link all your accounts, and it mirrors. So, like, if you buy something on iTunes that is also available on Amazon Prime, like, there's a few companies that don't let them play this way, but you'll have it on all the platforms. Like, a lot of the discs where they're like, oh, your digital copy, you can actually do it through Movies Anywhere, and you just redeem it through that, and then it shows up, like, for iTunes and Amazon Prime, and which is just really nice. Because, like, sometimes I'll watch, like, a movie on like, my iPad, so if I, like, the Bad Boys set I got, you know, of course, goes across the thing, so, like, I watched it on my desktop through Amazon Prime. But I could also download it and watch it, like, on my iPad through iTunes. Like, you get to own it on all the platforms for most movies.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth, like, seriously, make a Movies Anywhere account, like, link your accounts to it, because if nothing else, it just gives you the options for, like, oh, that service isn't working well today. You know, like, let me try this one. It makes life easier. But anyway, so, you know, Bad Boys is one of those things where I remember when the first one came out, because I saw it in the theater. And it was basically Michael Bay's first movie. And it was just joyful. Like, the first Bad Boys movie was one of those movies that, like, I always look back on, and I watch it occasionally, as one of those great examples of that genre. Right? And so, like, I watch it again, I'm like, this shit still holds up. Like, it is still as much fun to watch now as it was when I saw it in the theater. And there aren't that many movies that really fall in that category.
It's true. Yeah,
But just,
absolutely.
like, it has a looseness to it, it has a sense of humor to it. And then there's Bad Boys 2, which
Which
fucks it all
is,
up.
oh, really?
Yeah, it like, I, you know, and I was discussing this week, actually. It's one of these weird things where it's better known, and I actually do blame Edgar Wright for that. Like, I think he didn't see Bad Boys. Because whenever he talks about, like, Hot Fuzz, and he's like, oh yeah, it's Bad Boys 2 and Point Break. But the stuff he takes from the Michael Bay shit in Bad Boys are just specific camera shots. All of which are in both Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2. Like, he takes nothing from Bad Boys 2 that is unique to it.
Oh,
Which is
okay.
why I think that
Right.
he just didn't see the first one.
I
But
mean,
the.
Edgar Wright has seen every movie ever made, so
Sure, but maybe when he first, you know, when he first did, like, he saw the second one first,
who knows?
but like, it led to it being more popular, and I like, and for me at least, what it is and is, and someone else explained it, like, in these exact terms, is the first movie is a comedy with an action movie layered on it.
Yeah.
Bad
That's
Boys 2
accurate.
is an action movie that tries to layer a comedy on top.
Ah.
And it doesn't work. Like the second movie is very slick, like they have more money. It's, you know, Michael Bay turning into Michael Bay as a director. So it's very slick, it's very polished, and it loses all of the charm of the looseness of the first one. Like, it's just the cinematography alone is just too pretty.
Fair enough.
So you don't believe the edges. You know, like, it pushes it into kind of unreality in a way that the first one didn't have to deal with. It's just, it's a weaker goddamn film. It's too obsessed with trying to be a Bad Boys movie. So with this in mind, I was kind of nervous to watch the third one.
I'm really curious about the third one.
Well, the big thing, of course, was it was directed by Adil Arbi and Bilal Fallah instead of
Sort of Bay.
Michael Bay. And interestingly enough, it's not as good as the first one, but lightning in a bottle, right? You gotta figure, like, it's not gonna be as good as the first one, ever. But it's better than Bad Boys 2.
Whoa, that is a strong assessment.
It is way closer to the first movie than it is to the second. Like it's a little looser. It takes its time to do comedy stuff that doesn't really have that much to do with action stuff, but it still does a bunch of like serious action movie stuff. Like they found a better balance than the second movie did, at least. You know, like I still prefer the first movie, but three is a good shot at doing this with the franchise. And it does kind of leave the door open for another movie if they want to do it, possibly and probably without Martin Lawrence. Which makes sense, right? Like, if you're going to go forward doing action movies, Martin Lawrence probably isn't into it at this point. And you probably bring him in for some comedy stuff. But you have a setup that lets it move forward in a fun way if they decide to do it. So, yeah.
And here's where I tell you something that you will find surprising. I
Okay.
have never seen a single Bad Boys movie. I know
Really?
of them. I know them. But first, and I and because when you said earlier, like yeah, I saw all three Bad Boys movies. I'm like, oh good, because I just went to ransack my memory to discuss the movies, and I'm like, wait a minute, I have nothing.
Huh.
I have never seen these films.
Really?
How the fuck did that happen? Like until today, I did not even realize that I had never watched those movies. I just
That's
kind of assumed that I
hysterical.
had. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, you need to go watch the first one. Like, again, you can happily stop there. Like, I think it's interesting to watch the second and see how that language of it changes and
Wow.
falls apart. And if you like the characters from the first one, watching the third one is kind of fun.
Fair enough.
But, like, the first one is. It's kind of like it's what Lethal Weapon wanted to be, and that's nothing against Lethal Weapon. But it's that kind of buddy cop comedy action movie that I think really got the balance, like, at least for me, perfectly. Like, it's just, it's legitimately, and I personally, it's just because Will Smith is so charming.
Oh, yes. That's
And
his
Martin Lawrence
job.
is honest to God funny, and they, you know, and so is Will Smith, and they play off each other really well in the first one.
So he'd managed
And
to find the sort of a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in a different context.
it ha right, but like again, like that early days of him doing action stuff,
Yeah.
and it just yeah, it really does kind of blossom. It is one of the great action movies of its era, and one of the
But
great like comedy action movies of whenever. Like, it has Joey Pants. Come on.
oh, hey, there you go.
Actually, all
Well, then
three of them
no.
have Joey Pants, but
Well, yeah, and I'm sold. Yeah, that seals the deal for me. But is it as good as iRobot?
is anything. No, yeah, no, look, this is a cop buddy movie where Joey Pants plays the police captain. And like it's Joey Pants in his kind of Joe Johnson days.
Oh, okay.
You know, like if you were redoing it now, like that's it. Like that's who you would have instead as the captain. That kind of like yelly, goofy, but you like him. That like early, like, you know, Joypad stuff would do. Yeah. No, it really is, like the first one especially is, it's a thing. And like I said, like, you know, you watch the first one, and then the second one, like, the start of the second one works really well, and then it just kind of falls apart slowly.
All right, well, I promise I will watch Bad Boys this week.
Yeah, you really should. I'm curious to see what you
Yeah.
think now.
Oh yeah. I have no doubt that I'll really enjoy it. So, but your take that Bad Boys is better than Bad Boys 2 is not the consensus, and I'm
I
sure you know
know.
this. Yes.
Well, I think it is just because a lot of people really do want the slicker. It's why Michael Bay has a career. Like, that's what
Yeah.
they want out of him.
Oh yeah.
Whereas I want, like, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence to have the room to play rather than, like, a gorgeous shot of a helicopter. Like, I don't give a shit about that.
Right. Actually, this is one of my, speaking of which, this is one of my pet peeves with larger budget action movies, are pointless, elaborate shots, or movies in which you can see that they took a great deal of like care to like set up the shot, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
But because it clearly took so much time and money to like to do a particular shot, they were like, we'll be damned if this is not going in the movie. So the editor will just kind of stick it in there. Just thinking particularly of Spy Game, Brad Pitt, Robert Redford.
Right.
There's a scene where they're on top of a building and they're having like this sort of meet, and they got a helicopter to shoot and sort of spin around while they're talking, and it is absolutely pointless because the whole point of it is that like there's is that like you want to be focused on these two characters interacting, but the helicopter shot is like this distant shot that
Huh.
just sort of spins around them, and it doesn't build any tension, it doesn't do anything. So they just kind of, the editor clearly was like, I guess I got to use this. So it just kind of like here and there, like it'll just suddenly cut to like the spinning helicopter shot
Right, and
that
they
just,
try to use it as like atmosphere because they have nothing else to do with it.
that is exactly it. They try to use it as atmosphere and it just boots you right out of the scene. And I
Yeah.
don't remember if they do it repeatedly in that scene or whether they just do it once or twice, but it sticks in my memory as like a completely pointless and like story breaking or like immersion breaking choice in edits.
Yeah. No, and like I said, like that's where the Bad Boys 2 thing gets fascinating for me. Because in a lot of ways there's a lot of similarities between the movies, right?
Yeah.
As often in sequels like that. But watching Michael Bay make the later now I'm Michael Bay choices is one of those like, oh, you just decided to spend money and now you have to put it on the screen. Whereas in the first movie it was like a conscious choice. Yeah, like, I think all three movies at some point feature a scene in a club, frankly.
Oh, yeah. No
And the
doubt.
first movie, and I this just sticks out, like, the third movie scene is actually probably the best, honestly, like, in terms of shooting and everything else, right? The first movie is the funniest, but soundtrack-wise, like, in this, you know, movie with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, they were playing KDFM in the club.
Oh, interesting.
Like, it's just it always I always forget that it happens because it's like it's not a movie I expect to hear Sister Salvation during.
No, no, it is
And
not.
yet there's an entire scene where it's just blasting because they're in this club. But the second movie is very much like a slick, look at these rich people. You know what I mean? It's and they lose that thread. But they spent so much money on the club that they had to do it. So, yeah.
All right, yeah, well, no, I'm definitely in.
Yeah, like I said, like it is one of those things. Like the first movie is genuinely just an amazingly good movie that you should watch, And then you watch the next two just to kind of go like, okay, how did this warp and change and fuck up and get better? And like, it's that fascinating thing. But like, generally, like, I don't watch Bad Boys 2 very often. Like, I think the only reason I watched it was because I was going to watch all three.
Right.
And I don't know that I'm going to watch three, like, again any year soon.
Right.
But I'll watch the first one endlessly.
Huh.
So, yeah. It needs a Fast and the Furious crossover. I can feel it.
Ooh. Yeah, I could, like, that would be cool.
It would work.
That's another thing I need to get back into. I need to do a Fast and Furious rewatch.
Man, I have done them more than once because you know how much I love those films, and I do actually start with the first one and watch all of, like, even the bad ones, like, the first four, and it's just because it's always so funny to me to watch how we go from, like, stealing, like, combo DVD TVs in the first movie
Oh my God.
to, like, international fucking CIA crime in the fifth. Like, it's
Yeah,
the
it's
transition is so funny.
yeah, and it's like they seem they creep up onto it and suddenly they just kind of leap there and I'm like, what?
Yeah,
How did you
it
get
doesn't
there?
make any sense. Like, the change
No.
literally makes no sense.
Yeah, it's
But
not like
you
they
don't
do
care.
exactly, but it's not like they do it gradually. Like if they were
No.
if it was if they sort of planned it out and sort of ramped up the like the scale every time, but it's like yeah, you got the first four movies that are basically telling versions of the same story, and then there's number three.
Well, the fourth, yeah, the fourth kind of starts to hint towards where five is going to go,
But
but
yeah, but
most of the fourth
five
one,
is yeah, it's such a
right,
leap.
well, mostly four just exists to bring back, like, the original cast and change the relationship between them as setup for the rest of the movies.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like, I think four is probably the clunkiest, just because it really is one of those, like, it is just plot for the next movie in a weird
Yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And, like, I like the third one by itself.
Yeah, that's the one I've never seen.
Huh.
I never watched Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift is funny. It okay, did you ever watch the Jackie Chan Karate Kid movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay, understand that obviously that happened years later, but Tokyo Drift feels very much like an echo of that movie. Just
Interesting.
somehow warped backwards in time.
Huh.
Like, it was like they kind of got to the let's do Karate Kid, but do it in, like, do it the reverse way before Karate Kid actually did it. Which is weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. So maybe I'll try. Yeah, maybe that's my other rewatch. After The Magicians, I'll go on a full-on Fast and Furious.
I like it.
I'll watch them all. Three Fast, Three Furious, Four Fast, Four Furious, Fast Five, Fast Furious. I don't know.
Yeah, the name
Fast
it gives
Five
actually gets
Fury.
fucked up.
Yeah, Fast Five Furious Five. That's what it should be.
It's one of the things that, like, I hate just because, most things sort by alphabet. And so many sequels, like Indiana Jones and the Indiana Jones and the, and they, they'll do that. But, like, these are just, like, scattered to the wind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, yes, we've talked about the naming conventions of the Fast
Yes.
and Furious before. Where was it? Where were we? Oh yeah, I wanted to I just I wanted to discuss something with you, not pop culture related in the least,
Okay.
because I know that you get your tend to get your groceries online and get them delivered.
I do.
So you are ahead of the curve, but for most of us, like we're used to going out and picking them up in person, and so like ordering our stuff online and getting it delivered or going to like pick it up curbside pickup is new, and I'm discovering a few things.
Well, first of all, like, what service are you using? Because it actually makes a really big difference.
Okay, so we're just actually our we have a superstore is our
Okay.
is a chain here, and you go on there's an app called PC Express, and you can order. You can order, groceries through that, and you just pick what you
Okay.
want, and then it's, you indicate whether you're good with substitutions or not, And sometimes they'll just say, yes, we have that. Yes, we had a sub, or no, we've got nothing like that, and you just don't
Right.
get it, right? So that's one thing to get used to, is like you sort of do meal planning, and then three of your key ingredients are just not there, and that's partly because supply chains are wonky
Right.
right now.
Of course.
But there's a little sort of image going around Twitter where somebody ordered what they thought were 20 bananas, and ended up with 20 bunches of bananas.
Got to be careful.
You got to be careful. And this is what I'm discovering, is that you really, when it comes to anything produce related, like I'm so used to going and picking my produce, and I didn't realize how important that was to me as a consumer of groceries.
Right.
Because when you're not picking your own produce, you sit there. Like I ordered sweet potatoes, and I'm used to picking sort of medium-sized sweet potatoes because I know how to cook with those. But what I got were like these bowling balls of sweet potatoes, and it was insane. I was like, what do I do with these gigantic, unmanageable yams? I
Oh
thought to
yeah.
myself.
Yeah, this is the thing, because I use Instacart where they'll do substitutions, but they'll actually ping you in the app.
Oh, see, that's all right.
And they'll be like, they're out of this. Is there something else you want? Or the app will automatically suggest things that are there. And be like, so you can kind of go like, no, just I don't want anything of these. Or, hey, can you try this?
Right.
But the
I
produce
think.
thing is always a problem because I get like bananas every week. And when I'm buying bananas, I tend to buy bananas that are mostly already ripe because I'm going to be eating them probably then starting the next day.
Yes.
Whereas, like, the number of times I get bananas, they're just, like, so not even close to ripe that they're, like, getting ripe by the time the next, like, week's delivery is showing up.
For example, so
Yeah.
yeah, I find like the it's kind of a crapshoot. I know that we have Instacart, but we haven't used it. But it's just by and large the strangest thing. Like we ordered zucchinis, they were tiny. I'm like, who the fuck would select these tiny pathetic
Yeah.
zucchinis? Clearly, some dude at Shopper is just trying to like fulfill like curbside pickup orders and like get
It's.
on to the next thing.
I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. Like, I've been using it for, like, over a year now, just because there's not a supermarket in easy walking distance. Like, there's one that's, a couple miles away.
Yeah, that is not easy walking distance. Yeah,
Right.
definitely.
And, like, I don't want to take a bus, have to wait for the bus with, like, groceries and all this. Like, it's just a pain in the ass. It's easier for me to spend a little bit of extra money because I can and do this. I prefer buying my own goddamn groceries. Like, there have been. I have had some interesting experiences with Instacart. Like, and again, like, they have been a lifesaver in general. 95% of the time, it goes great. But when it goes strange, it goes strange. Like, once I actually did get, like, someone. Because there are certain services, like the Amazon Fresh thing, where they just leave the groceries, like, at your door and leave. And, like, these days, of course, like, social distancing, like, that is an option and that's kind of a thing, right? But, like, that's always how Amazon did it, was they just, like, leave it there and then you'd get a thing saying, like, your groceries are there. And Instacart didn't used to do that. But occasionally you get people who work for both or whatever, and they'll do that. And once I got someone else's groceries, like, and suddenly you're like trying to call and get in contact with people to be like, okay, someone else would like these. I'd like mine. Like, what the shit? So it can be a bit of a trial.
No, my
But again,
my.
like, I absolutely adore them. Like, they save my ass. I can't be mad at it.
Oh, totally. No, I'm already sort of like just sort of adjusting. But the funny thing was, I got so many like giant sweet potatoes that I end up planning like all my recipes around sweet potatoes, and I had to go out and buy more sweet potatoes yesterday because I had just gone overboard with the sort of recipe planning for that. So there's a lesson in there somewhere. I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to, because I'm that level of weird neurotic, I do often end up getting like the same order, basically. Whether or not that's like healthy and not psychotic, I don't know, but I'm fine with it. And so, like, with Inscryer, I can just like select a past order and just go like, yes, give me this again,
Yes.
and be done with it, and it's a lot easier. That said, like, just because of that, like, just interruptions and things, or just people deciding like, oh, well, you should get this instead for whatever reason, that it happened, and you're just like, what? No, stop it.
Oh, this is funny. As we were talking, and I was looking at Twitter, and I saw one of those "you can only keep three" memes that have been going around Twitter. Are you familiar with the "you can only keep three"?
Yes, I hate them, but go on.
Yes, they are a scourge and a plague. But they just put up somebody put up like four or eight Will Smith movies, and said you could only keep three. So there's Bad Boys 1 and 2,
Okay.
Independence Day, Hitch, Men in Black, Enemy of the State, Hancock, and I Am Legend.
I
So
mean,
I.
two of those are obvious to me.
Well, Bad Boys is obvious for at least for you,
Right? And
and
Men in Black.
Men in Black. Yeah, Men in Black is just that is a great film. Barry
It, again,
Sonnenfeld
like
is
gold
just
standard, right? Like.
yeah, exactly. But here's the thing, like Independence Day. No, I just. People like to pretend it's a worthwhile movie. It's stupid and bad. We let's
I always
keep.
want to like it more than I do.
Yep. Hitch is like an abomination, except for the Kevin James stuff. That bit is good, but everything with Will Smith and Eva Mendes is just this massively miscalculated disaster.
Right. iRobot was one of those that's just terrible, right?
Yep, they don't have iRobot on this one,
Oh, okay,
which is
sorry.
surprising. Enemy of the State, I'm conflicted on. Because
Yeah.
I just think Will Smith is weirdly miscast. I do not like his performance in it. But
Like, why is
I
Wild Wild West not there? Come on.
yeah, because I we know that we nobody would keep Wild Wild West.
I
Or
might.
maybe
It's
or
weirdly fun.
it is so absurd. But I'm never gonna watch it again to like reevaluate it. I'll say that much.
That's fair.
Hancock, yeah. I Am Legend, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing
Yeah.
actually how many Will Smith movies I just frankly can't stand.
Right,
But
I
the
mean,
ones that
because
are
he's
good,
like,
so
I kind
good.
of like Hancock at the time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, what is a third Will Smith with? I'm like, well, you don't want to lose that. Bright?
£7? No, whatever the heck that one was called. No, Pursuit of Happiness. No.
I've never even seen Pursuit of Happiness.
The Muhammad Ali biopic.
Oh, yeah.
See, there you go.
I've never
That's.
seen Gemini Man, but it looked terrible.
Yeah, it really does. One day I'll watch it. But not
Suicide Squad?
anytime soon. Oh man. Like he's actually good in Suicide Squad. I mean, he and Margot Robbie,
Yeah, they're the
good.
only things worth watching in it.
Everything else, and yeah, everything else is just like a complete mess.
Like, really, like, if we're gonna ignore sequels, right? Like, we're gonna toss out, like, Men in Black 2 and all that. Like, just, go for the.
Yeah.
Like, I really do wonder, like, sure, I mean, 6 degrees of separation,
Oh, of
Concussion
course.
is
Concussion.
the boxing one, right?
I haven't seen Concussion.
Like, I never saw Focus either.
I saw that's with Margot Robbie again.
Yeah. Like, I realize I've never seen it.
I saw that and it was kind of a missed opportunity. Like there it had all the makings for a good movie. It's like when you have like all the fixings for a great hamburger all laid out and you put them all together and then you take a bite and you're like, eh. It's like they missed like some breadcrumbs in the burger.
See, I might have to end up giving it to Wild Wild West.
Jeez. That's bold. That's bold,
Like,
Adam.
at least it has. At look, okay, it has all the hallmarks. Okay, it has Kevin Kline.
True.
It has Salma Hayek.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They all know that they're in like a dog shit movie.
Do they ever?
So they're just going for it, and it has the most critical thing of
The
any
spider?
great Will Smith movie. No, not the spider.
Oh,
He
okay.
wrote a rap over the end credits.
That's true. That's isn't that required? Doesn't he like actually force every single movie to like do that?
I don't know that that's true or not.
I
I
don't think it
hope it
is,
is.
but I really want to see like The Pursuit of Happiness again and hope there's some kind of like rap or the one where he decides to like donate, a bunch of his body parts to strangers.
Like
I
I
want to
just
hear
want
that
him to
rap.
do that about like other random movies. Like just have other random movies. Just have like the end credits of just like Will Smith like talking about the movie.
Gonna donate my liver because I'm a giver, whatever. Yeah.
I just but like but random ass movies that have nothing to do with him. You know what I mean? Like like they're out in the Enterprise because they're in space. Like just fuck it, we're doing Star Wars. Like just whatever it is. You know, them Jedi's returned. Like I don't care.
I'm caught in the rain. I'm Citizen Kane. Yeah, I get
Yeah, I don't care what the movie is. I just like I want Will Smith to write like rap explaining the movie
Oh my
about
God.
every movie made. Like that should be his new job.
Yeah, I
Just
agree.
don't care what the movie is.
Nope.
Doesn't matter.
Nope.
The straight like I don't like Ben Kingsley's Gandhi. Fine, sold. Like doesn't matter.
This ain't Rwanda, it's India. I'm Gandhi. Sorry,
Like
I'm
you
doing
know
my
what's
best.
amazing though is that like in another like I don't probably like we'll both be dead, but like at some point assuming that there's still movies, there
Right.
will be a Will Smith biopic.
Ooh, yes.
And so first of all, there's like I'm sure like one of his kids or his grandkids will end up playing him, right?
Right.
But they're
Yeah.
gonna have to do that fucking song over the end credits. 'Cause you know they have to.
Oh my God.
And like that's where like the singularity happens, right? Like the universe just folds in on itself. Because the entire song's like, now I'm writing a song about the end credits, 'cause it just it loops. Here's the verse about
That's
Wild Wild West. Like it just it all feeds in.
God, and here it is, and the end of the song is actually the entire movie. I get it.
Well, that's oh Jesus Christ, that's that Uwe Boll movie. Motherfucker, why would you remind me of that? Do you know the thing
That's
I'm talking
that.
about?
I mean I know I mean I'm up on my Uwe Boll, or at least I thought I was, but clearly I'm not.
Blood Rain.
Oh, yeah, okay. I have seen Blood
I
Rain.
forget why I saw Blood Rain. Oh no, I do know why I saw Blood Rain, because I was in the middle of doing that whole I review bad movies thing.
Well,
But the
that's a
end of Blood
fine
Rain
pick.
is one of the goddamn worst and funniest things I think I have ever seen in my life. Okay, because this is a movie that is 1 hour and 35 minutes long. They just crossed the 90-minute mark.
Right.
And you know that 5 of those minutes is credits.
Right.
But they didn't have enough movie to go 90 minutes. They just didn't. And so this entire thing is this main character trying to basically like Conan her way through the movie, right? And
Right.
end up on this throne. The end of the movie, I want to forget this. I'll never forget it. She sits on the throne victorious, and you get a like a push zoom like that goes all the way into her eyeball, where you then watch the entire movie again. Like a second or
Wow.
two per scene for a good 5 or 6 minutes because they had to come up with the extra fucking time for the movie because they had to hit 90 minutes.
That is
And it's just
delightful.
literally the entire movie in order. Just like, like here's like 3 seconds from this scene, here's 3 seconds from this scene, right up until the end. And then it goes to credits and you're like, what the fuck?
I think there was like a might have been an Uwe Boll like a sequel, might have been one of the Blood Rain sequels, in which much of the first movie is like part of like just they just grabbed a bunch of footage and they use it as flashbacks, but they just put like a blue tint over the scenes. So
Yeah.
a good third of the film is just flashbacks to the original film, and it's hilarious.
Anyway, we're at the hour mark, just about, and now we're all riled, so we should just play some music. At least I'm wild because I had to fucking remember Blood Rain. God damn it. Anyway, we should play some music and find our happy places. You go watch some Bad Boys. We
will
come back.
That.
We can discuss where we are with Person of Interest and Magicians next week.
Sounds great.
You should think of a movie that, like, I've probably never seen that, like, you know, like in the Bad Boys type of, not necessarily in that vein, but just some movie. I'll watch that. We can start doing that.
Yeah. That sounds great.
All right. Until then,
Plans.
We'll play some music.
Music. Woo.